It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Well, conference play represents, in effect, the start of a new season, a fresh opportunity to set a tone and establish a reputation while building an identity to distinguish yourself against your closest rivals. The Rebels headed into Moby Arena tonight in hopes of breaking a five-game losing streak at Colorado State. And for the first 17 minutes, well, UNLV played with a lot of confidence as the three-point shot remained their best friend. But a 10-0 run by the host Rams, fueled by careless Rebel turnovers, set the tone for the rest of the game, as Colorado State closed out the run of Rebels by a final score of 91-77, and UNLV falls to 7-7 on the season, 0-1 in Mountain West Conference play. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the post-game show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, OV Sports Most Complete, Golf Course Experiences in Las Vegas, Diamondback Land Surveying. From brick walls to the Taj Mahal, Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear, with a smoke and lunch deal, a 12-inch pizza for only $5 with two locations to serve you. Go to pizzamydear.com. We come to you after every game this season, folks. We want to hear from you, Las Vegas. Don't be shy. You're not shy on Twitter. Call in and let's hear your voice. 364-1100. Give us a call, be part of the action, or text your thoughts at 69187. Preface your text with ESPN. Before I go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials and keeping us glued together tonight, is producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking all of your calls at 364-1100. And to my right, I'm joined by the gentleman with his own show, Sunday mornings on our sister station, 1340 online. That would be Brian Feldman. Brian, how are you? Good to see you, and all I can say is this. The Rebels turned a 41-36 lead, actually it was 41-32, into a huge deficit. And I have my theories as to why, and the truth of the matter is, and I'm not going to mince words tonight much, the fact of the matter, the Rebels led early on, but I thought their lead was fraudulent, and I'm going to refer to my notes, but What are your knee-jerk thoughts as we head into Rebel Extra and the phone lines start to light up?
Well, Bernie, first of all, thanks for having me again. I love being here, and my thoughts are the same as yours or anybody out there watching it. You can't just win games and play games chucking up threes. You talked about their identity. It's run and gun. I mean, it is ridiculous. Within the first 2 minutes, three errant three-point shots for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Luckily, there was kind of a lid on the basket in the first couple minutes. Nobody could score, but Poizer with two bombs, Terrell Green with another bomb, and we don't even want to get started on Mooring. But, Bernie, this is what we are seeing game in and game out. And my big question is, we just listened to Marvin Menzies talking to John Sandler in the postgame show. When he says the kids aren't responding, are they listening to him? Is this something on him? Because you would think at some point you say to Javon Mooring, please stop it. And if he doesn't, take him out of the game, right?
We're going to go to the phones in just a second here. Let me just say this. Going into this game tonight, you knew that Larry Eustace coached teams focus on two things, defending and rebounding the ball. That's what their emphasis is. In conference, as we said, it's going to be challenging. Teams are more comfortable at home. Even though I think there couldn't have been more than 2,000 people there tonight, it's in the middle of Christmas break and they're just not in class there at Colorado State. But be that as it may, at one point the Rebels were six for nine from 3-point land, which created, I believe, the false sense of security. But the last 5 minutes of the first half told the story. Rebels didn't get a single field goal the last 5 minutes, didn't score a single point the last 3 minutes, turned the ball over four times in the last 3 minutes, led to a CSU 10-0 run. Instead of leading at the half, the Rebels trailed 46-43. The intensity changed, everything changed, and at that moment, hold this thought, we're going to come back to it, Brian, because I want to get to the callers. At that moment, I believed the thing that you've even talked about since day one, really got exposed, and that's lack of a true point guard. Who is the go-to guy to control the chaos when the wheels start to come off? And there isn't one. And that is why the Rebels were unable to hold off the storm heading into the end of the first half. We're going to delve into that a lot more, talk about some individual performances and some key points in the game. But as we've always said, folks, this is a caller-driven show. We want to hear from you. It's the fans and the supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel basketball that make it all worthwhile. So without further ado, let's go out to the phone lines. We're joined by Carl. Carl, you are up first tonight on Rebel Extra. What are your thoughts?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Good evening. I just wanted to say, you just touched on the last couple minutes there that I was going to make a point about it.
Go ahead.
Point guard play. It is so important to have that guy. And isn't there anybody besides Mooring that could really handle the ball more? Because I'll just listen off the air, but I'm just venting. There's got to be a point guard somewhere. They need a point guard so bad. And then I'll just listen to you guys off. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for checking in. Brian, his sentiments, I think we share his sentiments. There just was, again, even when the Rebels led at one point 41-32, I just felt it was a fraudulent lead. Yes, the Rebels actually got to the line in the first half 11 times, but a lot of those were bailout dumb fouls by Colorado State, who I thought came out flat. You just don't see the side-to-side ball movement. You don't see the body movement. The Rebels didn't force Colorado State to work hard on defense at all the first 15, 20 minutes, and it ended up paying them back.
Bernie, you didn't see side-to-side ball movement. You saw no ball movement. They run it up the floor, and they chuck it up. It happens way too often. The point guard play, you know, to go back and answer the question of the who's the point guard, there is not one. Where is he going to go? You keep talking about bringing in Larry Bush. And, you know, he brings him in. He gives us, he gives UNLV a few quality minutes. But, Bernie, do you really think he can get the job done? I mean,
well,
I've listened
to you
out there.
All I know is in my notes, it was 65-50 with about 12 minutes right to go in the game, 13 minutes to go in the game. Mooring dribbles into a scrum. You know, there's six, seven, eight guys on the floor. Doesn't matter. I'm going to dribble into him. That's what I do. Menzies was livid. Pulled him, put in Larry Bush. 3 minutes later, Mooring checks back into the game, dribbles into the lane, right into traffic, trips, falls, loses the ball again. All right. I'm going to start to sound like my own echo chamber at this point. I'm stuttering at this point. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Mark. Mark, thanks for hanging on the line. You're up next on Rebel Extra.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks for having me. To me, there's really no surprise. You know, when I saw the line and everything, and I know, you know, a five-game losing streak with the teams that we brought in there, you know, I figured we would lose by about 15. And, you know, I was too busy and stuff like that to really go down and lay anything. But, you know, like I said, I think we're going to have to be pretty much – these guys played over their head, right, shot the lights out early. And we're able to hang in there, give us a little bit of false hope of, you know, being competitive. But in actuality, it just came down to being, you know, real of what a tough place Moby Arena is to play. And, you know, the coach there and what he's got going and how, you know, it's just difficult. And it goes for any team. So at the end of the day, well, how many league games are there, guys? What is it?
18. There are 18 total conference games.
So, you know, my pick is the Rebels would be fortunate to, this particular Rebel squad that's out there, no matter how good a job coaching staff, you know, unless the players just play, you know, incredibly, I'm thinking they're going to win 25%. Which would be, what is that, 4.5 games?
It would be 4.5 wins, yes.
Yeah, that, you know, that's pretty much what I'm thinking. So, you know, as a city, the media, the radio show, the paper, you know, just, you know, I mean, that's really what we are about, is running Rebels. That's our biggest thing. has been our biggest thing. I've been in town 28 years. And, you know, I think we just got to get used to, you know, like I said, I would be surprised if, you know, if we win over, you know, if we win five games or more, you know, in conference.
All right, stick with us all year, Mark. We'll see as the season progresses how the team fares. Brian, as we talked about off-air, the ACC, the Big 12, and the Mountain West Conference, the only conferences that featured teams that didn't have a single team finish under 500 during non-conference play. Now, I'm not mixed up. I don't particularly feel the Mountain West is one of the top conferences in college basketball, but better than people realize. And although tonight, anyway, I can't imagine that Moby was a tough place to play. I would say this, though. The keys I had written down for me that I would like to see, keys to the game that would lead to a potential Rebel victory. One, limit hero ball. Two, value every possession. And three, get to the rim. That might sound cliche. I didn't talk about defense or turnovers and some of these. Those are obvious. Did the Rebels get to the rim? Well, some people might think that. And in a sense, they did in certain stretches. And believe it or not, the Rebels actually shot 30 free throws tonight. But did they really get to the rim? Colorado State had 40 points in the paint, and the Rebels had 20.
Bernie, the Rebels tonight, and again, we're going on and on about this. And what going back to Mark, the misconception, and it's not overstating the obvious. The bottom line is, number one, your first point, eliminate hero ball. That would be a great start for this team. Eliminate the hero ball. 6 of 9 from three-point land? That sounds great, but the misconception, as Mark just said, and he said it, Bernie, and you heard John Sandler say it, they played over their head early. Like, they played good. They didn't play good early. I'm not going to be a naysayer, and I don't want to be Mr. Negativity, but this team played run and gun, and they hit a bunch of threes early. That is not going to win games in this conference. It's not going to win games anywhere. It's not a philosophy. I still want to know, and I'm asking you, what do you think? And we'll ask Mark Anderson as well. Is Marvin Menzies telling them not to do this, and they're just doing it anyways?
I'm quite sure Coach Menzies has delivered the message vehemently about making better decisions with the ball and having more efficient possessions, valuing possessions, but it's not resonating. I catch just a brief portion of his post-game conversation. And he sounded a little flummoxed. This is not what they're teaching the kids to do. And they're 14 games into the season now. And even when the game was pretty evenly contested the first 10 minutes, it was about a dead-even game. I take incessant notes. I got 5 pages of notes front of me right now. And I remember writing things down like, and this is at the 12:30 mark at the first half. Colorado State getting a lot of second-chance points. UNLV still relying on the three. So they make 6 of their first 9, then they miss their next 4. They finish 10 of 25 from the three-point land. When the Rebels got into their half-court offense, which wasn't very often from my vantage point, they were forcing passes right into the teeth of the defense. They weren't moving the ball, and they weren't moving. And it really caught up with them. Now, there were individuals that I thought displayed great intensity tonight. I really like Chris Clyburn. He's got a nose for the ball. He's got good instincts most of the time. He's got very active hands, plays with a lot of energy. I thought Christian Jones was excellent tonight. Now, we're going to ask Mark Anderson when we have him up here at the top of the hour. He went out toward the end of the first half, and he didn't come in for a long time in the second half. Starting to wonder, he looked kind of dejected on the bench, and I was starting to wonder what's going on with him. They need him. I mean, this is a guy that's built like a linebacker. He looks like a guy that should be going over the middle of the NFL. He came in the second half at a beautiful drop step and showed that he can be a force in the paint. So, it's not Troy Baxter again. One of your favorite guys. Highly productive. 15 points and 5 rebounds in 23 minutes. Arguably the best athlete on the team. But how do you get to a point where you create the whole being better than the sum of its parts? You look around the Mountain West Conference tonight, Nevada won big. You expected they would. Boise State, the Rebels' third opponent, gets a nice road win at Utah State, right? Wyoming, the opponent Saturday, looks to be everything as advertised. They were blowing out Air Force. Air Force came back, made it a game. Air Force is averaging more points per game than anybody else in the conference. So
you know, find me a weak spot. Sure, you could pin that on San Jose State, but until you get on the floor against them and prove it, you just don't know. Going on the road, as we talked about many times in conference, is daunting. Their teams are comfortable on their home floor. They're used to their rim. They're used to their environment. They've got fan support. You typically get the hometown call more often than not. When the Rebels are nursing a 9-point lead, one would hope that they don't succumb to a 25-3 run over basically an 8-minute period, the last 3 or 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes or so, 5 minutes of the second half. But you peel back the onion, Brian, and you ask yourself, why did Colorado State manage to build a 25-3 run in that time?
First of all, the game, you know, again, and I go back to the beginning of the game, Bernie, and I don't want to, at the risk of being overly redundant, the first couple minutes of the game, and you say Marvin Menzies has gotten this across to his players, and he has said,
he's
hey,
trying, I
okay,
think.
But my point is, the game started with 3 3-pointers. If you right yes. at the very beginning of the game, if that's your philosophy and you're saying, hey, let's get some dribble penetration if we can, let's move the ball from side to side, and you go up and you chuck up a couple of threes to start the game, like I said, fortunately, there was a lid on the basket for Colorado State to start the game as well, and UNLV stayed in it and did build a 9-point lead. Bernie, if there was ever a game for them to go in and steal one, this was the one. You've got no fan base.
Yes.
You've got a team that just lost 3 games and is reeling. This was the game to go in and steal, and they didn't, and they came out just like they have in every damn game so far, and I don't want to be negative, but they started off shooting 3-pointers again. And if that is Marvin Menzies' philosophy and he's truly telling them that, come on, it's the beginning of the game.
So here's my take on that. And by the way, the Rebels turned the ball over tonight 12 times. Out-rebounded 47-37, had their first turnover 14 seconds into the game after winning the opening tip. But they come out, jack a bunch of threes. You get Clyburn, Green, Poyser. They're all shooting threes. 0 passes, go down, shoot a three, you make it. All of a sudden you look up, the Rebels are up, right? They're up 6-3, then they're up 23-20, then 25-20, and then 30-24, and the Rebels put on this little 2-2-1 press, and it seemed to slow down Colorado State's offense. And all of a sudden you say to yourself, well, the Rebels, they're confident. They're giving an effort. They're playing hard. But what's really happening, they're making their threes. They're making their threes. They're 6-9 from three-point land. So let's unpack this, your statement about let's speculate on what Coach Menzies' mindset is when it comes to these guys. And do they just simply have carte blanche to shoot threes? I don't think so. This is where I think Coach Menzies would weigh in on this. He knows, we all know, you're not always going to get a nice, crisp, clean layup, open layup next to the basket. There are going to be times when you're going to have to take a perimeter shot. And if the shot is there, take it. I don't think he wants his players playing with a gun to their head. I think Coach is probably very good at managing people. If you've got the shot, take it. If the Rebels get into a semblance of a half-court offense, make an extra pass, all of a sudden you find yourself with a shot that's suitable, take it. Don't pass it up. The problem is some of these kids have been given an inch and they're taking a mile. I far too often, you get down into your offense, 3 seconds, 8 seconds into the clock, you take a shot with 0 passes, and it's a long shot, and it goes in and creates a false sense of security. But what's really happening, you're not forcing the other team to have to work on defense. Colorado State didn't have to work on defense much the first few minutes. Mooring checks in, hits a bomb three. 2 minutes later, hits another bomb three. He's hit his first 2 threes, though those are the only 2 threes Mooring hit for the entire game. Yes, he ended up with 11 points, 3 of 12 from the field. Does that really help your team? You have a better shot if you get to the rim and draw contact, maybe get a basket and get to the line. That's what I was talking about in my keys. Get to the rim. That's your first choice instead of settling for three-point shots, which too often are long threes early in the clock after an offensive possession in which there were 0 passes.
I want to ask you a question. Menzies referred to a term in his post-game conversation with John Sandler, and he said the word scared. I've been trying to think, what did he mean by scared when he spoke about them? Scared to basically do what he tells them to do. Does that mean that maybe Javon Mooring continues to play on the perimeter? Because we saw when he tried to go inside, that, like I said, he lost the ball. That maybe there's some kind of something mentally going on with him that he's scared to penetrate, that he doesn't feel he has the capability to penetrate at this level. I'm just saying, when I hear a coach say they're scared to follow directions, which is basically what he said, what in the world? And I want to ask Mark Anderson that too, what he thinks. But what do you think that means?
I'm not sure how to interpret that. I will say this, Brian. Clearly, in the second half, the Rebels became hesitant on offense. Once Colorado State found their sea legs and their defensive intensity was ratcheted up and the Rebels had great difficulty staying on the floor with the Rams. Let's face it. There was an eight-minute stretch there where the Rams just did whatever they want, whenever they wanted on both sides of the ball. And when that Colorado State became much more confident, their spacing was very good. Their ball movement was very good. Their people movement was very good. And they got into a rhythm whereby, you know, things just flowed for them. I mean, the last 25 minutes of the game, Colorado State scored 55 points. That's a lot. They scored 91, which is about 15 over their season average. Now, is that as a result of Colorado State being so hot or the Rebels being lackluster defensively? Or was it just an overall lack of cohesion on both sides of the ball?
Bernie, it's that Colorado State is a Division I basketball team. Not that UNLV is not, but they're cohesive. You can see Larry Stacey's stamp on them, what he does. Bernie, the cohesiveness of this basketball team in no way, shape, or form is there yet. Will it come together over time? I honestly do not know. Colorado just played basketball in the second half. They picked up their defensive intensity in the last couple minutes of the first half and never really looked back. As you said, UNLV at times really looked completely out of sorts and uncomfortable. And based on Javon Mooring, what I'm saying, if you remember at the end of the game, we were watching it, and he drove the baseline, and it looked like a high school player making a layup. He missed everything. Division I ball players don't miss everything on a reverse layup running the baseline, Bernie. They just don't. So is it scared? How do you teach this? And the bottom line is, it just boils down to, as we go to break, I know we got to take one, limited options. That's just what it is. And that's why you're going to continue to see these same players, even though they make mistakes, is because of limited options.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to catch up with Mark Anderson, beat writer of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He was at the game. I have a lot of questions for him, most notably Christian Jones. He did come back in the second half, but he left with some sort of injury in the first half. And I want to know more about Dwayne Morgan. I know Dwayne Morgan didn't make the trip, but what's his status for Saturday? They're going to need Dwayne Morgan. But I want to leave you with this thought before we go to break. Colorado State, coached by Larry Eustace. Eustace, I believe, has said earlier in the year he believed this is one of his best defensive teams. Having said that, I don't think Colorado State is much more than a 9-9 team in conference, maybe 8-10, and the Rebels lost to them by a wide margin, and there were certain stretches of the game tonight where they were clearly outmatched. So do with that what you will, but that is my first impression after Game 1 in the Mountain West Conference. He's Brian Feldman. I'm Bernie Fratto. Bobby Machado producing. Again, Rebels fall 91-77 at Movie Arena, and the Marvin Menzies era in the Mountain West Conference is underway. More show for you when we come back. On the other side, we've got Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. So don't go away, folks. Stick with us. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM, Bernie Fratto, Brian Feldman, and Bobby Machado producing tonight. Give us a call, 364-1100 or text 69187. Joining the action, please preface your text with the ESPN Rebels fall tonight in their conference opener at Colorado State, 91-77. Let's catch up with the gentleman who is at the game tonight at Moby Arena, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Say hello to Mark Anderson. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well. Bernie, how you doing?
Good. Before we get into the meat of the game, Christian Jones left late in the first half, and I wasn't sure if he was going to come back in. He looked a little dejected on the bench. He did come in. Looked okay. Anything to be concerned about there?
Not that I saw. He wound up playing 27 minutes. I didn't come away thinking there was any problem there. I mean, maybe Marvin was being nervous with him early on, just to, you know, still getting him back. But I didn't see any issues later.
And along those same lines, I know that Dwayne Morgan didn't make the trip, but looking ahead to Saturday, what is his health status?
Menzie said, I think it was after the Kansas game, he's going to be doubtful for the next two games. So he's
okay.
He'll be doubtful for this game. I just, you know, from talking to Marvin on, I think it was Monday, it just sounds like this is a long-term deal. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they decide to shut him down at some point. And I'm actually a little surprised they haven't done it already.
Dwayne Morgan now, correct?
Right, yeah.
Really?
I just, you know, it's the hip. It's the, you know, he had hip surgery in the summer. If it's still bothering him this much later, you know, I'm guessing they want to see what the chances of him coming back are. But, I mean, he just seems like every time you ask him about Dwayne Morgan, Lindsay's just keeps wanting, it keeps indicating that it's not anytime soon. And that's, you know, when you start hearing that, you start thinking, well, okay, if it's not anytime soon, will it ever happen this season? So I'm not saying he's out for the season. I'm just keeping my ears open in case that does happen.
And
so.
Steve Colefield had pointed out to us after the Kansas game and the pressure, that was his inference that this the hip was bothering Dwayne Morgan again. So I guess our speculation that this is going to be chronic, unfortunately, may come to pass.
It's possible. I mean, I don't know specifically what's wrong with the hip, and you know, that does sound like one of those parts of the body that once you hurt it, it may stay around for a while, like sort of like a back injury. So it may just be one of those deals that you know, either they have to shut him down for a long time and get him completely healed, or it's something he's just going to have to deal with.
How soon, Mark, do you think before they'll know that? Is it any? I know that no time frame whatsoever, but the season's into the Mountain West season right now.
I don't know. You would think they'd have to know something pretty soon. I mean, as you said, they're in the conference play now. So it may be a deal that if they think they can get him back in February, then they'll see how, you know, how the next few weeks go and play it by ear. You know, that might be what they're thinking. You know, there's also the chance that they could get the medical redshirt form, because I don't think he's played the required number of games or the number of games that would cost him that. So they may be seeing what those options are. You know, there may be rules around that they have to prove that he couldn't play. And if they, you know, if it's a deal where he could have come back at the end, maybe, you know, maybe this is a situation where they are holding out the hope that, he might come back at the end and you don't get the medical redshirt anyway. So,
Mark, tonight's game, you know, after I was listening to Marvin Menzies, we were just talking about that on the show a minute ago, talking with John Sandler and talking about how, like, they're not getting it and they're not responding. And me and Bernie are speculating, does Marvin Menzies, is he telling them, look, you can't go out there and just chuck up threes, but if he's doing that and he's saying they're not responding or not listening, then the game started with Poizer shooting two threes and Terrell Green shooting a three. So is it that they're not responding? When he says you have an open look, what's going on? It's just so hard to get what exactly really is happening.
Yeah, I think this is tonight's the most frustrated I'd heard Menzies after a game. I kind of sensed it during the game when UNLV was hot. You know, it wasn't out of any necessarily great offensive set, so
yes,
they just happened to be hitting
you shots.
And, you know, and I even made the comment, you know, at the time on Press Rose, like, you know, this may not be a good thing that they're hitting all these threes, because then they're going to fall in love with it. And I think that's basically what they did. I think that they were so hot, 41 points in the first 15 minutes, that they felt like they were just going to roll. And then when that roll stopped, they didn't know how to handle it. And I think that's what frustrated Menzies so much, is they were never in the proper offensive sets to begin with, and so then when the shots stopped falling, it just killed them.
Mark, I want to make a statement, and I want you to respond to it, because your assessment mirrors what my eyeballs told me with the Rebels start out 6-for-9 from three-point land. But even when they had the lead, Colorado State was getting second-chance points. Rebels were relying on the three. I felt the lead was fraudulent. Then when the wheels started to come off in the last 5 minutes, here's a statement I want to make, and I want you to respond to it. The Rebels were truly exposed for lack of having a true point guard, because when the chaos enters the game, who's going to be the go-to guy to control the chaos and stem the tide? And the Rebels didn't have one. That's why they had 4 turnovers in the last 3 minutes, and Colorado State was productive. All right, we're beating it. Maybe not you, but I have been beating a dead horse. Someone has to assume the role of point guard. But I felt the Rebels hit bottom there, Mark, that last 5 minutes, because they were exposed for lack of a true point guard.
No, I agree with you, and this was the game where they finally faced someone that's basically on their same level. You know, they until now they've been facing either a ranked team that was notches above them, or a Southern Utah or Northern Arizona team that they really should go beat. This was the first game that you went in thinking, okay, Colorado State's favored, but I wouldn't be shocked if UNLV won this game. So it was a somewhat even competition. And I agree with you. Not having that point guard was just glaring tonight. I mean, and as you said, it's been discussion all season. It's not like this is a surprise, but when you see it against a team that's a similar talent, that's when it really sticks out. And I think that's probably what bothers Menzies so much is, how do you fix that? I mean, they don't have a true point guard. Maybe Larry Bush is the closest they have at this point. Walk-on guy who the coaches clearly don't have the confidence in to go out and put in the starting lineup, or they would have done it by now. I don't know how you fix this problem. And I'm going to write this and be posted online later. This is where this game really sticks out is that these issues that they have aren't quick fix issues. These are going to be with them all season. And a lot of nights it's just they won't be able to overcome it, and some nights maybe they'll figure out some ways to do it, but it's just going to be with them all year.
Well, Bernie's talked about Larry Bush on the show a couple of times, Mark, and again, only 4 minutes on the floor tonight, no points. Do you think we're going to see his role increase? I mean, somebody has got to take the position, and again, the last couple of minutes when Colorado State turned up the defense, UNLV had absolutely no answer, and you saw the glaring separation between these two teams at that point in time, and again, it completely related to the backcourt. 4 minutes, I mean, can he give more time? Because obviously, we're not going to see Jordan Johnson until next year.
Yeah, and I don't know. The problem I have is there's a lack of access to practices. So I can't tell you what I've seen in practices.
Sure.
Why he's not playing more. And then the time we do see it's very little scrimmage. I've only seen really one scrimmage so far. So I'm not seeing enough to find out why. I'm just going to have to think the coaches, from what they've seen in practices, they just don't have confidence in. I'm sure they have good reasons why they don't have confidence in him. And in their defense, the only time we saw Larry Bush had kind of caught our eye was in the Duke game when he was the only one who went in there and kind of settled things down. So maybe it's just that, he didn't do anything special in that game. It's just he didn't panic, basically, But maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need someone to sort of settle things down, and maybe at some point they'll have no choice but to go to him. But clearly they don't. They don't have the confidence in him to go run the show at this point.
The problem becomes, Mark, it becomes a residual effect on the rest of the team when the offense falls apart. Here's what I mean by that. So in my usual 5 pages of incessant notes, I write down, when the Rebels fell behind, now it's time. It's the old Chuck Daly line. Start with a stop, start with a stop, start with a stop. And boom, the minute I'm writing it down, Gian Clavel goes down the court, hits a three because Tyrell Green was out of position. Rebels get the ball, Colorado State gets the ball right back seconds later. Clavel hits another three. Why? Because Chris Clyburn, one of my favorites, simply didn't step out on him. UNLV jacks up another shot, doesn't get the rebound. Boom, here comes Clavel again for another three, and the Rebels are standing around, and the next thing you know, they're down by 11. Here's their offense. Morin gets the ball, drives the lane into seven or eight people, loses the ball. Colorado State goes the other way.
Menzies was livid at that point, and justifiably so. He puts in Larry Bush. 3 minutes later, Mooring returns, drives the lane into a double team, trips, loses the ball, and now all of a sudden it's 79-65, and it's goodnight, Nurse. So the bottom line is, this has a residual effect on the rest of the team when offensively UNLV is clicking. They're confident. They play better defensively. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why it's the quarterback of the basketball team, right? If you don't have, and that's something that's haunted UNLV for years. I mean, Babe Rice never had a point guard, and, you know, if he had one, he might still be the head coach. So, you know, it's just how you not don't have a point guard in this day and age, and expect to win games. It's just not realistic. So, you know, it's. I said this, you know, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse now, too, where I just don't know how you fix it this season. I'm not convinced Larry Bush is the answer either. Maybe he's one of those guys who you do need to put in to kind of settle the team down. But, I mean, when he was in tonight, he didn't do anything that kind of turned anyone's
and
heads
Mark,
either.
Not to cut you off, but I don't mean to turn this into the Larry Bush show. I'm not his agent. What I'm looking at, when you see the repeated, cumulative effect of these mistakes. We're 14 games into the season now. January 1st is Saturday. And so it's a situation where you've got Mooring, you've got Poyser, you've got Zion Morgan, who I think's athletic and a pretty good defender, but he's not ready to assume the reins. And
no.
Bush is the unknown man, and perhaps we've overreacted to a four-minute stretch in the Duke game where he looked to be composed. And it's simple as that.
Right.
Well, he did. Right. In the Duke game, he exactly what Mark said. He just simply didn't panic. He did nothing exceptional. He just remained calm. And in a lot of cases, that's what we need because we see Mooring out of control on a regular basis. Mark, there was one sequence early in the first half where Troy Baxter Jr. was all over the offensive glass. I think three in a row off of one missed three-pointer, another missed three-pointer, and they were caromed rebounds, but he got them, and then he made an unbelievable, I thought, a really nice pass to a cutting Chris Jones, one of the best plays I thought of the entire day. Where was Troy Baxter later on? I love him overall. I think the potential down the road is pretty nice for him, but he had five total rebounds. Three came in that sequence.
And that's what we talked about with him all season, right? It's he will have stretches where you're like, wow, in another year or two, this guy's going to be all conference, you know, at least a couple of years. But then you remember when he disappears a while, he's still a freshman. So I think that's just him right now. You know, he had a really nice line. You know, like you said, five rebounds after that doesn't sound great, but he had 15 points overall and made three or four three-pointers and, 5 of 7 overall. So he actually was one of the better players tonight. And I do think he's got a lot of talent, and I do believe he has all conference type talent. Once he gets some experience, he's going to be a really good player down the road. But yeah, I just think he's a freshman, and you're going to have these disappearing acts even in the middle of good games. And so I just think that's kind of what you get with him.
Wrapping it up with Mark Anderson, beat writer of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Rebels Fall Tonight in Moby Arena, Colorado State, 91-77. Two quick things, Mark. What is the message Coach Menzies has going forward? There's 17 conference games left. Granted, the Rebels may not have a pure, true point guard, but that doesn't mean that's not an excuse to continually force passes into the teeth of your opposing team's defense or drive the ball into a triple team. And the second thing is, did the altitude at all bother the Rebels tonight?
I don't think so because they fell apart with 5 minutes ago in the first half. If it had been at the 30-minute mark of the game where they had, like I said, a 10-point lead and suddenly they ran out of gas, I'd say, yeah, the altitude probably had something to do with it. But the fact, since the collapse happened so early in the game, I'd say it really wasn't an issue tonight. And as far as his message, I think it's going to be – I mean, he knows that he doesn't have a point guard, so he's going to – his message is take care of what you can take care of. And that's kind of the sense I got in the post-game news conference with him was you can still take care of your own issues and not get out of the offensive set. So I think that's what they're going to do going forward and try to hammer home with each player that it's not individual sport. It's a team sport. And you got guys out there. If you don't have a great shot, then maybe your teammate does, and don't fall in love with a three, and maybe look for a better shot. So I think that's what he's going to hammer home going forward, and we'll see if it takes hold.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much for coming on tonight. I know you guys are catching a plane charter back tonight.
Well, not me.
Well, all right.
No, I fly commercial, man. I'm common folk.
No, you're not common folk, Mark. All right, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. It's Mark Anderson of the Las Vegas Review-Journal weighing in tonight from Colorado Springs, or excuse me, from Fort Collins, Colorado, where the Rebels fall 91-77 to Larry Eustace and the Colorado State Rams. We're going to take our final break of the evening. When we come back, we'll wrap it up, some final thoughts, and a quick look ahead to what appears to be a very good-looking Wyoming team that will visit the Thomas and Mack Saturday at 1 p.m. So stick with us, folks. Don't go away. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Now, back to Rebel Extra on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, Brian Feldman, Bobby Machado producing. Rebels fall 91-77, 0-1 in conference play. And, Brian, it doesn't get any easier as a very good-looking Wyoming Cowboy team comes to the Thomas and Mack Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Bernie, this is an 11-3 team coming in, a team that should have beat USC a couple of days before Christmas, barely lost them 94-92, and of course, USC, a top 25 team. Air Force had a 30-point lead tonight and ended up winning by 12, but really probably let down a bit. This Wyoming team is tough, and as we talked about for a second during break, Bernie, Allen Edwards is doing one. Talk about a guy coming in and putting it together immediately. You lose Josh Adams, one of the best players in the conference last year, and not only have they not missed a beat, they're better.
Well, Allen Edwards, the new head coach at Wyoming, who took over for Larry Shyatt, who has quite a resume of his own. He was on the bench with Billy Donovan at Florida, winning a national championship, has transformed that team. They average 76 points a game. Their spacing, their ball movement, that they always make the extra pass. Fairly veteran team, too. Kids like Akagorski and Taylor and McMenamin. Four players remain from the Wyoming team that won the Mountain West Conference Tournament 2 years ago here at the Thomas and Mack, beating a good San Diego State team and getting a bid. It'll be a fun game on Saturday. This is going to be an opportunity for the Rebels to rebound. I don't believe, I have to look this up, I'm going to trip over my tongue, that the Rebels have lost two in a row yet this year. So they've rebounded after every loss with a W. But it's going to be tough duty Saturday. And part of the reason I say that, we got a tweet. A gentleman, somebody named Ryan Garner, tweeted at me. He says, they're not getting better. Well, he's right. Can you honestly say with a straight face, this team has improved? I know a lot of people were gaga because the Rebels fought hard against Kansas last Thursday. I don't want to throw cold water on it, but Kansas took their foot off the gas. Did the Rebels play hard? Yes, they did. Did they play with a certain intensity? Yes, they did. I've never not once said this team doesn't play hard. What my concern has been since minute one is their ability to play as a cohesive unit and get into a semblance of an offense and run that offense in such a way that you can break down a defense. I haven't seen that.
Well, Bernie, of course not. And again, it all breaks down to what you said. We're overstating the obvious, the play of the point guard. Hopefully they'll find a way to figure it out. Somebody will step up. I think it's going to be a by-committee thing the entire season this year. It is going to be a very, very tough game against Wyoming. Their best game so far, Southern Illinois. Time to go. I just want to say another great name tonight, Bernie. Shea Bob. I love it. Every game, at least we're getting something in here. Shea Bob. We've had Lionheart, Leslie, See Me Socks, and you had some guy named Pancake. So at least we're getting some good name, something positive, right?
And Shane Bob was a pretty good player for Colorado State. In 25 minutes, he did a lot of damage. All right, Brian, great job, buddy. Thanks for stepping in tonight. And what can I say? The season is off and running. The conference play is upon us. That's going to do it, folks, tonight for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, again, Brian Feldman, and, of course, producer extraordinaire and matinee idol, Bobby Machado. I'm Bernie Fratto, bidding you good night. Next up for the Runner Rebels, a date Saturday, 1 p.m. with the Wyoming Cowboys and their 11-3 record. It'll be a great game at the Thomas and Mack. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, tonight's final score, Colorado State Rams 91, UNLV Runner Rebels 77. Good night, folks. Enjoy the holidays and go Rebels.